This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
What's going on, Katie?
Oh, you know, the usual things. School started back up again, so I'm back to being redonkulously busy. The Percy Jackson movie or show. Oh, hi, Pete. Hello.
Oh, that was a really good purr into the microphone.
That was a really good purr.
I'm not going to take that out. That was actually satisfying to hear.
The Percy Jackson show is incredible. Please DM me if you're watching it.
I need to get on that.
Oh my God, it's amazing. If I hear one more fucking person complain about Anna Beth being black instead of blonde, I will strangle them.
People just fucking complain to complain, and it is so annoying. They're fictional characters. Chill the fuck out.
She was written as a blonde girl because at that time, dumb blondes was like kind of the mainstream thing. But white blonde women aren't really talked about that way. But black girls and black women are often undermined and looked down upon simply because they're black, whereas Annabeth is like brilliant and often undermined, and it actually makes so much more sense in this context that her character is black, because that's what the writer was writing about, like those things, that the struggle of overcoming expectations, and it makes so much sense, and people are complaining about it. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're so dumb.
I'm glad that you just explained that to me, because I have not watched the show, so I didn't know anything, but what you just explained makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, I love Annabeth. Of the character. It's one of my favorite characters. Yeah. So if you're not watching it because you're like, fuck, the movies like traumatized me, they were so bad, I totally hear you. I understand you. The author is a part of the show.
Well, that's always the best when that happens.
So it's amazing. Definitely recommend.
Fantastic.
What about you, Ashley?
I am coming to you guys from the funeral home. I was like, I have to tell people where I am right now.
Oh, yeah.
My boss is, well, everybody knows Lauren already if you've listened to our interview with her. So Lauren and my other boss, Helen, had to go out of state for a wrestling match. So I am here at the funeral home because we have an apartment above it. And I'm watching the kitties and Hercules, our therapy dog. So if I sound a little weird throughout this episode, it is because I am pretty fucking allergic to cats. I took a Benadryl before we started a while ago, but it is barely working. So I apologize if I sound weird. We're planning my birthday weekend. Mm-hmm. I just bought the tickets for us to go to a murder mystery dinner theater thing at the Mount Hope Mansion. I'm super excited.
Me too.
And then we're going to have slumber party festivities and party like it's the 1990s, and we're back having a fun ass slumber party with pillow forts and movies and another murder mystery game that I have, and maybe Cards Against Humanity. I'm excited.
Pillow forts? Blanket forts.
Blanket forts. Sorry. I mean, but don't you incorporate both things? You can use the pillows to help prop things up. Pillow fort, blanket fort.
Oh my God. This is Community. Pillow fort v. blanket fort all over again. No, it's not the same thing at all. Team blanket fort.
I have not watched all of Community, so I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Okay, when you come down for your birthday, we're going to watch that episode. Anyone okay. who has seen it is going to be like, yes, Katie. Yes, we will be incorporating pillows to the bottom of it.
Now I realize that I called it pillow fort to someone else today, but they rolled with it. But now I'm like, I feel like blanket fort. I feel like that sounds better.
When someone says fort, I automatically assume blankets.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just me. I'm a blanket fort person.
Well, we're going to do that. I'm actually so excited because we were talking about like, oh, where should everybody sleep? And then Katie goes, oh, we could build a blanket fort. And I'm like, yes, yes. If we're going to have a slumber party, we have to have a blanket fort.
Absolutely. There has to be a fort. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I don't want to cut this conversation short, but I do have something that's like going on in the world that I wanted to talk about.
Why don't you tell us?
Because we haven't had time to check in this week, you and I. Mm-hmm. The world of AI has taken a new fucked up turn in a way that people have been saying for a long time couldn't be done. The Taylor Swift pictures. Are we going to talk about them?
Okay. hold on. I saw Brian's TikTok this morning while I was getting ready for work where he was addressing it and talking about how shitty people are. I don't actually know, though, what he's referring to. I have no idea what happened. I was finishing up my notes last night, so I guess if something happened last night, I didn't see anything yet, and I haven't been on social media all day.
This actually happened, I think, yesterday, maybe a couple days ago. I actually knew that you hadn't seen it, because if you had seen it, you would have texted me immediately. It's that bad. Don't look them up.
Oh, that's not something that I want to do. After I saw some comments on, vague comments on Brian's TikTok about it, I was like, oh, I still don't know what happened, but I'm getting the vibe that it is fucking horrific.
I woke up super early and was just like scrolling through the artist formerly known as Twitter, and they allow porn, and I follow like quite a few sex workers. So I'm not, when tits come across my X whatever page, I'm not alarmed. But a pair of tits came across my page that were quote unquote allegedly Taylor Swift's, and a series of incredibly pornographic images, I mean incredibly pornographic images, were created by AI of Taylor that literally I was so shocked and taken aback.
Oh my god.
Wild.
What the fuck? Wild.
It was...
Whoa.
Oh. Very... It was shock. It was just shocking.
Disturbing. What the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah. It was so...
incredibly violating.
Oh. Yes. Yes. We are talking about images of Taylor with multiple other people. The Chiefs team. Like, oh, it's...
no.
It's really bad. It's really bad. It's really bad. I imagine she has grounds to sue.
Yeah. Oh my god. Sue. Please.
I don't bring this up, like, because it's Taylor Swift and we love Taylor Swift. I bring this up because this is a huge... step in AI that I knew, we all knew was coming, that people were going to start doing this shit, even though laws have been passed to like make it not possible, or like not supposed to be possible, but like it happened, and it was wildly real. So I just like want to encourage everyone, like I understand we just had this whole AI and the writer's strike and we've had conversations surrounding AI, but I don't think that people are understanding that like just everyday people have the capacity to like make this now.
Yeah.
This isn't just something that's like being left to regulated, big air quotes around regulated companies. Just like everyday shitbags can get a hold of this stuff. So I encourage everyone to like call your senators, you know, we say that all the time, but like really get involved in what's going on with AI, because it is bad. And this can take revenge porn to a whole new fucking level.
Yeah.
And that is something that I know a lot of women and assigned female at birth and queer, like I know that that's something that we have to think about. So I just wanted to put this out there, like it's a thing. It's not funny if you see the images come across your page, or if you see any nude images of someone and you're like, I'm really sure that they didn't put this out there, report that.
Yeah, I don't like where technology is going. Oh boy. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was alarming.
Like, I actually don't know what to... I don't know how to move on.
We move on from that by saying, with great power comes great responsibility. Shit, I don't know. You're right. What do we say from that?
Wow.
I don't know. I guess the segue. No one cares about women. They take all of our money. Actually, last I saw, people were talking about like whether or not Taylor could sue over that.
Yeah.
And I hope she does.
I hope she does too. This is insane. I really want to be a fly on the wall in the room with Taylor and Tree Payne every time some shit goes down. Every time someone says some stupid shit and they have to react, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that room.
I think truly before I saw these images, I would have said that.
Mm. Maybe not for something this fucking insane.
Yeah.
Maybe something more like the Dumois situation where Tree tweeted that shit herself. I want to watch the magic happen of them making that plan. You know? That's what I want to watch. The genius. Yeah.
I bet even like the reaction to Kanye West's... music video was like just anger. This
has got to be another level.
I was speechless.
I had no idea how to react. you said what it was. I was like, why are we out here doing this?
Yeah. People suck. Yeah, they're the worst. They're the worst.
There are other people who are also the worst, and I'm going to talk about them today.
Yes.
In the spirit of my last episode, this week we are going to learn about another way that corporations, organizations, and countries manipulate their consumers and citizens into believing that they are more ethical than their actual practices and behaviors. Today, we're learning about pinkwashing.
I guess I was already mad, so I'm just ready to get more angry.
Yeah. So let's start with a definition of what pinkwashing is. Pinkwashing is the action of a business, organization, a country portraying themselves as allies to the LGBTQ+ community without actually doing the work to center queer voices or make tangible change for the community as a whole when it comes to rights and protections. Again, just like greenwashing, there is intentional and unintentional pinkwashing. Some may make a bare minimum effort to be an ally but could improve upon their efforts, while some are blatant about their lack of efforts to be inclusive while claiming solidarity.
It's giving Target rainbows.
I mean, obviously, you know I'm going to talk about that at some point in this episode.
Of course.
Of course. When taking on the task of creating a marketing campaign showing inclusivity, care needs to be taken to show ethical portrayals because showcasing lives of a real community is a sensitive fucking topic. Companies need to take the time to make sure there aren't over-exaggerated stereotypes in their media and marketing, and whether they're speaking for us instead of with us.
I like the way that's put. I actually just saw the best inclusive ad I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah? What was it?
It was for eHarmony.
Ooh, okay. Tell me more.
And it was female presenting person and their partner, who also was female presenting, seemed to be a lesbian couple. And it was talking about like finding someone for like the small moments of a relationship. And they were getting all of their clothes out of the dryer. And then one of the girls like laid down on the bed. And then the other one like dumped all of the warm clothes on her, and it was like eHarmony there for the small moments, or like some shit like that. And I was like, that was adorable.
I'm crying. Oh my god,
right? It was so good.
Not me crying at literally everything.
It's like, shit, eHarmony, I'm married, but I'll, okay, yeah, I'm here, what's up?
Oh,
that was great.
Oh, hi eHarmony, maybe I'll add you to the list of dating apps that I just put myself on.
eHarmony is not for your slut era.
Oh,
per no, your bio.
I don't think so. For my no. bio. I changed it to my metaphorical slut era. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry you haven't sent me your updated one.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I made a Bumble last night too. I'll send that to you.
Okay.
Every summer, we see companies launching their pride campaigns or their pride merch. And to be honest, the majority of these large corporations aren't doing nearly enough to actually push forward protections for the LGBTQ community to be out here calling themselves allies. If you aren't a member of the community, you really shouldn't be the one calling yourself an ally. That is a badge of honor that is earned by how you support us and how you speak with us and actively show up for us.
Yep.
Be out here being like, I'm an ally. Do you do enough?
Ally.
Ally. Ashley ally. Pinkwashing and or rainbow capitalism is a way for these companies to reap the benefits of our money when, as of 2022, the LGBTQ+ community, quote, has a national poverty rate of 22% compared to 16% of cis straight people, end quote. And that's from inequality.org.
Of course.
Benefiting from us while doing the bare minimum or nothing at all to start projects and organizations or speak on legislation and put their money towards forwarding legislative protections for our community. There are so many companies who will do a Pride Month campaign but then take no action for the community for the rest of the year. We've got companies like Shein, H&M, Target, and many others are all complicit in pinkwashing. So let's look at some tangible examples. God damn. She's like a demon.
She is downstairs.
I am not taking that out. Let's look at some tangible examples of how some brands have been pinkwashing. Several years ago, there was backlash when H&M and Levi's rolled out their Pride Month collections. The issue was that they were actively producing their clothing in countries where homosexuality was either still illegal or laws had recently changed, such as Bangladesh, where it is still illegal. To produce your Pride collection in a place where being queer is still illegal is a slap in the face to the community who would wear these items the most. Don't ask us to spend our money on that kind of shit. Like, are you kidding me?
I don't want pride merch that's produced by slave labor.
Yeah. In a place where some of those people who may also be queer are, their existence is illegal. Like, come on.
Yeah. Enslaved people who would be killed for being queer. No, thank you. I really don't want them to be forced to make my pride merch.
Damn, Goose. That's gonna be hard for me to cut out. Sorry, guys.
All week.
Oof. BMW had changed their logo to a rainbow logo. In June 2021, which is great and all, but the issue with how they rolled out their campaign was that it was not company-wide internationally. The logo was changed in countries that afford more protections to the queer community, such as the United States and Germany, but failed to change the logo in countries such as Russia and Saudi Arabia, where the impact of that visibility is much more important to the queer folks in those countries. Like, it's important everywhere, but it is much more imperative for them. You should be doing it in those countries. Don't back down.
Yeah.
If you're gonna fucking be about it, be about it.
Or hell, double down and don't have a logo. and everywhere else have a rainbow. Like, that would speak so much if you didn't, if they took away their logo from places that didn't have rainbow, or like didn't have laws for the LGBTQ, and then for everywhere else they had rainbows. Like, come on.
God, I love the way you think. I didn't even think about that. God, I love that.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I was once told by multiple people that I think in campaigns, and I'm like, yeah, I really do.
You actually do.
Baby.
You do. I haven't thought about it like that, but that's not wrong at all. Let us not forget this past summer when Target started removing items from their Pride collection because some fucking idiot woman on TikTok decided to make a video claiming that certain undergarments, including a tuck-friendly women's bathing suit, were being made for children. She claimed that she found them in the kids section, but she just fucking moved it there before she started filming. Her faux outrage, among many other right-wingers with nothing better to do with their lives other than harassing people who were different from them, forced Target into removing these items from the stores. There was also a rise in violence from right-wingers who were harassing employees and knocking over the pride displays. They ended up pulling those items because of the fucking level of violence that people were bringing to the stores. And while I'm not okay with Target employees who are like probably getting not enough money to do the jobs that they're doing, I'm not okay with them being harassed. I was disappointed with Target's decision to cave to the pressure of these fucking idiotic people. I remember they like moved some of the pride displays to the back of the stores to try to like stop the harassment.
Yeah, people were all pissed again this Christmas because they had a nutcracker with a like LGBT, like a rainbow nutcracker.
That nutcracker was incredible.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
Because let's be real, nutcracker is the gayest part of Christmas. Look at him.
Objectively so.
Look at
him. It's in the name.
Obviously a drag king.
Love.
Come on. I was happy to see him flying his flag.
It's so disappointing to see places like, I love Target, you know? I'm not gonna deny that. I like going there. I try not to that much because I'm a broke bitch. But like, I get sucked in. It's like a fucking vortex when you go there for one thing and then you're there forever. But it's so fucking disappointing when companies are like, oh, we're just gonna take a step back, a walk back from our support. And I'm like, if you're gonna fucking be about it, you need to be about it. I'm sick of your performative bullshit. Help us.
Do something.
So now, particularly now, would be a great time for us to discuss how America and many other countries claim to be bastions of LGBTQ plus rights while failing to progress in the legislative means of protections and equalities for our community. Here in America, we see it every day. State by state, there are insane laws against the trans community and LGBTQ community in general popping up everywhere all the time. I know I'm grateful to live in a state where our governor's not a fuck-ass bitch, and he
And he has been putting protections, like codifying protections into law for our community. And it feels really good. And I'm like, oh, thank God, New Jersey. But it's not like that everywhere else. And I feel like there's this vibe that people like to be like, well, America is so progressive and so good for the LGBTQ community. It's like, who are you lying to right now?
Like themselves.
Like, it's not... There's still so much work to do. This is a country where people are literally murdered for being different in so many capacities, including being members of the LGBTQ plus community. Our country is not the safe haven that it likes to pretend it is.
No, 22% of trans people are murdered within their own homes. That's just within their own homes. That's 1/5 of the trans population. That's not accounting for suicides. That's just murdered in their homes.
Jesus Christ.
So like, I can't even begin to like have the conversation about trans safety and LGBTQ safety. Go fuck yourselves. Go fuck yourselves.
And while we're on the topic, I know that right now, the pinkwashing that is happening in conversations and debates or arguments, whatever you want to refer to it as, about the genocide in Palestine and the pinkwashing that Israel as a country and some people are trying to portray it as this like incredibly progressive area for the LGBTQ community. And then you or me as a queer person and other queer people getting hit with questions like, well, why don't you go there? You're queer. You go to Palestine. They'll kill you. We really need to stop with this because America, Canada, all these other places, the queer community is still being harmed.
Yeah, you might kill me too.
You might kill me too. Like, it's crazy to try to use a justification for the genocide of like an entire people by saying like, well, they'll hurt you because you're queer. Okay, what about all the queer people that are there right now? What about all the queer people who are being harmed by bombs killing them every day?
Yeah, see, the thing is I feel like, hypothetically speaking, if someone, a queer person, were to go to Gaza right now, they're not actually going to die because they're queer. They're going to be slaughtered by bombs because they're in Palestine.
Yeah, so like, miss me with that shit.
Exactly. Like, fuck all the way off.
And if we're trying to say that Israel is better because there are more protections for the community than there is in Palestine, like, something that we should be striving for is to change the protections in Palestine for queer Palestinians. But the only way that can happen is if we stop bombing the ever-loving shit out of them and allow them to rebuild and help them rebuild. I mean, you gotta rebuild it for them because you destroyed it. But it's just like really crazy to me.
It's
to try to use that as a justification for continuously destroying an entire country's worth of people. Please don't use my community to try to continue genocide.
I think one of the things that frustrates me the most is like, people are like, oh, well, like, go there and advocate for the queer community. It's like, well, I'm actually trying to advocate for the queer community there by telling you to stop bombing them.
Mm-hmm. And the only way that real change can happen, again, is like, if we allow these people to have homes, to be able to stay in their homes, to have food, to have water, to have access to healthcare, to have access to proper death care, to have access to everything that they could need, to have access to communication with the outside world. All of those things need to happen first, plus so much more, for any kind of progress to happen on laws surrounding the LGBTQ community. So it's just insane to try to use that.
What? It's wild.
Stop with the whataboutisms.
Yeah.
There is something that I found that I want to read that I found extremely insightful. An article from Al Jazeera entitled Against the Pinkwashing of Israel, August 9th, 2014, by Ashley Barer, a queer feminist Jewish activist and academic based in Chicago. She is a founding member of Jews for Justice in Palestine. So I pulled some excerpts from this article that she wrote, because it is a much longer article. Obviously, I will have a link to it in the show notes. Please read the entire thing, because there is stuff that I did not put in here, but for timing's sake, I kind of picked what I found were the the most important pieces of it. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is 2014. As the latest round of Israeli fire rains down on Gaza, a problematic discourse has resurfaced in the West. This discourse seeks to convince white Americans and Europeans that supporting Israel is imperative for women, LGBTQ-identified individuals, and their allies. This line of thinking alleges that Israel has enacted legal protections for LGBTQ folks and is therefore a bastion of liberty for queers in the Middle East. The rhetoric of many mainstream feminist outlets has been similar, arguing that because Jewish women enjoy legal equality with Jewish men in Israel, women and feminists are obliged to support the current campaign of terror and destruction in Gaza. This pinkwashing of Israel not only plays on a variety of racist and Islamophobic tropes, but also impedes a thorough and nuanced analysis of queer and feminist liberation. Pinkwashing replays a frequent trope in discussions of conflict in the Middle East, that Israel is a democracy committed to human rights. What these discussions continually fail to address is that these human rights apply only to Jews and are consistently, flagrantly disregarded for Palestinians living under Israeli apartheid. The millions of Palestinians living in Gaza and the West Bank are not enfranchised in this so-called democracy. The millions of displaced Palestinians living in exile or in refugee camps are not enfranchised in this so-called democracy. The thousands of Palestinians caged in Israeli jails are not enfranchised in this so-called democracy. Nor are they protected by the legislation that supposedly supports and protects women and LGBTQ folks. This pinkwashing is thus misleading, purporting to secure rights for women and queers, which are routinely violated along racial, ethnic, and religious lines. Just as feminists and LGBTQ activists are obliged to dismantle racial hierarchies in our own communities, so too must we reject them in Israel and Palestine. We must assert unequivocally that anything less than liberation for all is unacceptable. To refuse to do so retrenches the all-too-common neoliberal strategy of divide and conquer. The idea that Israel must be defended, regardless of its human rights abuses or racist violence, separates LGBTQ liberation from larger social and structural phenomena. It refuses to acknowledge that Palestinian queers are among those who are harassed, brutalized, displaced, bombed, and incarcerated. Whatever liberties might be extended to Jewish queers in Israel, being queer does not save Palestinians from the constant and brutal assault that forms the conditions of their lives. The Israeli army does not give a free pass to queer Palestinians. In fact, its soldiers target LGBTQ Palestinians. Just as in the United States and Western Europe, oppression is a multifaceted phenomenon, one which works through the simultaneous mobilizations of race, gender, sexuality, and class. If we fail to address the intersections of race, gender, sexuality, and class in our analysis of Palestine, we contribute to a system of ideological cover that shields Israel and the IDF from having to account for its crimes. It is thus incumbent upon Western feminists and queers to support the demands of Palestinian women and LGBTQ folks for their liberation. We should support their demands for boycott, divestment, and sanctions, BDS, and we should support them in their demands of equality inside Gaza, the West Bank, and diasporic communities. We should support organizations in Palestine pushing for feminist and queer liberation. Organizations like Palestinian Queers for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, PQBDS. We should begin to see the struggle for queer and feminist liberation not as a single issue struggle to rally behind, but as a crucial dimension to the project of global universal emancipation for all. Anything less is unacceptable.
Hell yeah.
I was crying while I was reading that. It was so moving and powerful and just full of nuance in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Bro, that shit was from 2014.
Wild.
Which really just lends to the fact that this has been a problem for so long, so much mm-hmm. longer than people are trying to pretend it has been. And it's insane to have people try to support a genocide and try to use our names as a queer community to do that.
Yeah.
As a group, we are people who stand for liberation of all. It's mm-hmm. it's not just for us. We can't be liberated unless all. Yeah, it's all or none.
And it always will be. Because I think we've said something like this in the past, like every time, like, you know, you see a loophole in a system that allows the system to abuse anyone, it will always be disproportionately used to abuse minorities. Always.
Always.
So that's why when you hear people being like, okay, well, you know, even for this situation, like it cannot, like we cannot accept this mm-hmm. because every loophole will always be used to silence and abolish minority communities. We have to close all the loopholes.
So I kind of want to close out on a lighter note, but I also don't really know how to go from the conversation that we just had to, I don't know how to do this transition. So I guess I'll just change it up. How can companies and organizations and others avoid pinkwashing? I actually got this from Elle magazine, but as we have learned in the past, Elle actually has some like fucking good hard-hitting pieces that they've written.
Yeah, Elle and Teen Vogue are killing it.
And like, okay. This is really, really geared toward those companies and what they can do. So if any of you are fucking listening, I mean, don't know why you would for this, but we can all push this information out there. Don't believe in the hype. Believe in purpose. Think about your brand's core values, how you can match the ideal scenario with the current reality towards social commitments inside the brand. Everybody talking about purpose does not mean you have to copy the same strategies. Find your authentic route and trace a strategy where honesty is present, as well as acknowledge that this is a long run effort. This is not a 1 month, a year thing. Avoid corporate pride and empty gestures. No one is buying it. Be inclusive and fucking prove it. I added the fucking. You cannot claim you care about diversity and body positive image if you portray standardized beauty cliches in your advertising campaigns. This not only has to do with external communication, but also with inside employee policies that guarantee inclusive teams, equal treatment, and visibility in senior management positions. If your brand is committed, it has to create measurable outcomes. Connect with organizations that make real actions. As a brand, you cannot do it all, even if you are willing to make a Pride fashion collection and donate the revenues. For example, there is another path beyond selling. Find local organizations supporting LGBTQ+ education, health, or social issues, and create a long-term partnership with them. Brainstorm innovative ideas that match the brand to the cause. Promoting a social cause is not a trend, and it never will be. Brands must look for authenticity and empathy in their communication strategy. Commitment matters, and there's no time left to waste. If you guys want to take active action with groups who are working to combat pinkwashing, especially in the genocide of the Palestinian people, I will have links in the show notes to groups like BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, a Palestinian-led movement for freedom, justice, and equality, and inequality.org. And that is pinkwashing.
Hell yeah, dude. That was awesome. Phenomenal episode.
Thank you. I try. Now listen, I'm just kind of glad I made it through this without dying from the cat hair. So
me too.
I really do hope that people take this to heart, and I just need people to understand how terrible it is to try to use the oppression of others to justify a genocide. It's not fucking cool, man. Let's stop doing that.
It's really fucked up.
So I guess until next week.
Until then.
Bye.
Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.